This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Our Father, we need to hear and to see what you have to say to us today. So please help us. Help us to see and hear and to put into practice. Help us to trust Jesus for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, last year, the Royal Australian Air Force airdropped 9 tonnes of high-energy bars and other food supplies on the top of Sinjar Mountain in Iraq to people fleeing from Islamic State militants. 9 tonnes of food was meant to supply 3,700 people for one day. Now, I suspect those people on Sinjar Mountain would listen more carefully to a sermon about Jesus feeding thousands of people than most of us here today. Because for us, the feeding of the 5,000 has 3 problems, I think. First of all, it seems irrelevant. What's the point of it? And second, it seems far-fetched. Some of the details are hard to believe. And third, it seems distant from my experience because I don't live day to day, and my food grows in the supermarket, and I don't need my groceries multiplied. If they were multiplied, I wouldn't have anywhere to put them. If I didn't go to the shops for 4 weeks, I'd probably still have food in my cupboard. But this is God's word, so this is more than just a children's story that makes us marvel at Jesus. Something is going on here. And this is a key event. This is a key event for understanding what Jesus provides for us. And Mark shows us how important this event is because he asks us, have you understood about the loaves? And if we answer no, he says, your hearts are hardened. See, in chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, verse 51, after Jesus walks on water, they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. And then, in chapter 8, Jesus feeds 4,000 people in a similar manner. And shortly after this event, again on the lake in a boat, Jesus asks his followers, chapter 8, verse 17, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? Do you still not understand? And of course, the question I ask myself is, do I understand? Maybe I have a hard heart. So it's important that today no one leaves having ears but not hearing and eyes but not seeing. We've got to hear from God's word today. What does he have to say to us? His word is not irrelevant, it's not far-fetched, and it's not distant from our experience. It's not irrelevant because Jesus is the ruler that we need. It's not far-fetched because Jesus has the power that we need. And it is not distant because Jesus didn't come so we could feed. So Jesus is the ruler that we need. Jesus has the power that we need. Jesus didn't come so we could feed. So first, this event tells us that Jesus is the ruler that we need. So I've had different types of supervisors in my years of employment. I've had some that care for me and some that see me as a resource to achieve a task. What type of ruler do you want? Well, we want a ruler who's willing to give things up for our sake. I want politicians who are willing to take a pay cut for the sake of the people. I want a boss who, at the end of the day, when a crisis arises, says, Ben, you go home. I've got this one. And I want a ruler who does that consistently, every time, without fail. I need a ruler like that. In fact, you give me a ruler like that, and I will listen to them and work hard for them and obey them. And this is Jesus. So his followers are physically and emotionally exhausted after telling people in the area about the coming kingdom of God, and they need rest when they come to Jesus. And yet there are so many other people excited by this message of the kingdom that Jesus and his followers don't even have time to eat. So Jesus provides rest. He takes them away from the crowds in a boat, in a place they feel comfortable. This provision of rest is reinforced by the suggestion that Jesus is a shepherd. Rest and shepherd language remind us of the ruler of God's people. God's ruler was meant to provide rest. He was meant to shepherd the flock, shepherd God's people, protect them from their enemies. King David used to do this. He was once the ruler of God's people. But since King David, God's people have been waiting for a ruler to come and shepherd them and give them rest. This is the ruler we need, isn't it? In our busy lives, we need a ruler who provides rest from our troubles, who protects us from danger. Well, this is Jesus. Now, for Jesus' followers, the rest doesn't last long because as they reach the shore and get off the boat, the crowd is there again. And so Jesus demonstrates another aspect of the shepherd ruler of God's people. What he provides is instruction. Jesus sees the crowd, says they're like sheep without a shepherd. Well, sheep without a shepherd roaming around, not knowing where to go, not knowing what is the good way and the bad way, need a teacher. They need to be instructed as to where to go and how to live and what to do. And that's what Jesus does. And this reminds us of Moses. He'd been a teacher of God's people in the past. And when he was about to die, he prayed to God, give them a ruler, give them someone to lead them and teach them. This is the type of ruler God's people need. And this is the type of ruler we need. Our lives are full of advertisements and politicians and blogs and media, all telling us how we should live. And we need someone who trains us rightly how to live. Someone who cares so much for us that they want us to live well. Well, this is Jesus. But Jesus is also concerned about people's immediate needs. At the end of the day, knowing that the people are hungry and have no food, he provides bread. Well, he doesn't provide bread straight away, does he? First, he asks his disciples to provide bread. And they, of course, cannot. There's not enough money to buy that much bread. And if there was enough money, there's not enough bread in the surrounding villages. So let's pause. Jesus is the ruler that we need. He's the ideal ruler of God's people. Previously in chapter 6, we've read about King Herod, the political ruler of the region. He'd recently held a feast for the upper classes. He'd provided an abundance of food and wine for them, but nothing for those who were hungry. He'd provided lewd entertainment rather than instruction in how to live. He'd murdered one of his subjects rather than caring for his people. And later in Mark, we'll read about the religious rulers, those who teach people to obey their commands but ignore God's commands, those who are hypocrites, those who destroy the flock rather than caring for God's people. Doesn't that sound like our situation today, friends? We have politicians caring for their own kind. We have TV personalities telling us how to live the good life, but ignoring God's instruction. See, this feeding of the 5,000 is not irrelevant because Jesus is the ruler that we need today. He's the ruler like David who provides rest and who shepherds his people. He's the ruler like Moses who instructs his people. And then when no one else can provide for immediate needs like bread, Jesus has the power that we need, and he provides bread. See, no matter how wonderful a ruler might be, they're limited. There are things they cannot do. Even the very rich and the very influential cannot do everything as hard as they try. But here, Jesus can and does provide bread for the people. Now, there might be some listening who discredit this event, or maybe discredit the whole Bible, because they don't believe in miracles. Well, if that's you, I want to ask you why. If it's because you don't believe there is a God, then of course you don't believe in miracles. So I'd encourage you that perhaps if you are willing to investigate the evidence for miracles, maybe you'd have to concede that there is a God. And the place to start in that investigation is the resurrection of Jesus. But we won't talk about that today. What we'll say is that there is indeed a God who does work miracles. And in fact, in the past, God has miraculously fed his people bread. After he brought his people out of Egypt, he fed them for 40 years in the desert with manna from heaven. And the prophet Elisha fed 100 people with enough bread for five. But there's a difference with this miracle from those miracles of the Old Testament. See, those miracles were performed very clearly by God, not by Moses in the desert, not by Elisha, the prophet. Yet here, we need to notice where this multiplication of bread takes place. Who does it? It's in the middle of verse 41. And a better way to bring out the force of what's happening in that verse is to say Jesus kept giving the loaves to his disciples. He kept giving the loaves to his disciples to distribute to the people. See, Jesus didn't give the loaves to the disciples in the baskets, and then as they distributed them, they multiplied in the baskets. No, they multiplied as Jesus handed the bread out to the disciples. He performed the multiplication. All the miracles in the Old Testament are very clearly performed by God or at God's direction. But this miracle is performed by Jesus himself. The ruler that we need is not just a shepherd teacher, but if he's going to care for us properly, he needs to be powerful. And Jesus demonstrates here that he has the power we need because he is God himself. This feeding of the 5,000 is not far-fetched because Jesus has the power that we need to provide all that we need. And yet, we must note that Jesus doesn't feed everyone he meets. And there are Christians in the world today trusting Jesus who die of starvation. So although Jesus provides food for the hungry miraculously at times, that's not his primary purpose, is it? Jesus didn't come so we could feed. So while the bread is bread and the people ate the bread refers to more than just bread. The bread refers to more than just bread. First, the bread refers to rest. This whole event is designed to remind us of the Passover festival. This annual celebration remembered God's deliverance of the people out of slavery in Egypt to freedom. It's often called the festival of unleavened bread. And at this time, God's people celebrate rest in their own land. The green grass the people sit on, the divisions of people into groups of 50s and 100s, like military divisions, the provision of bread, like manna. All of these things recall this Passover celebration and suggest that the bread refers to rest. That's what Jesus provides. Second, the bread refers to instruction. In Mark chapter 8, verse 15, after the feeding of the 4,000, Jesus warns his followers. He says, "Be careful, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." Now, the yeast reminds us again of the Passover, but it also suggests that the current rulers of the people are feeding the people with instruction, with false instruction, instruction that they need to watch out for. The Pharisees and Herod are teaching falsely, whereas Jesus is feeding his sheep good instruction. So the bread refers to rest and instruction. And then third, when Jesus refers to bread, we need to think of Mark chapter 14, verse 22. Jesus takes the bread and shares it with his followers and said, "Take it and eat. This is my body." So the bread refers to Jesus' death. So although Jesus feeds people miraculously at times, Jesus didn't come so we could feed. Rather, what he provides is rest for his people, instruction for his people, and his own death on behalf of his people. And those three things can't be separated, because the rest is the rest of rescue from sin, the rescue from death. And that's only available through Jesus' death and resurrection. The instruction is instruction on how to live in this new state of rest and freedom that has been won by Jesus' death and resurrection and his imminent return. Jesus died to save us, to give us rest, to teach us how to live. And so this event is not distant from our experience. This event demonstrates to us exactly why Jesus came and why he is relevant for us today. So if you don't yet know Jesus as your powerful ruler, please speak to me today. Jesus is the one who you need, and he will provide all that you need. So let's summarize. What does Jesus provide? What is the point of this event that seems irrelevant, far-fetched, and distant? Well, this event is not irrelevant because it shows us that Jesus is the ruler that we need. The ruler like David and like Moses, teaching, shepherding, giving rest. So, will we trust him to be our ruler? Will we listen to his instruction when the voices in our world tell us that what Jesus says is old-fashioned or harmful or misleading? Will we let Jesus give us rest, physical and emotional and spiritual rest? Will we know that we don't have to prove ourselves to the world by working harder or being busier, but that we are sheep of God? This event is not far-fetched because it shows us that Jesus is God himself, all-powerful, able to care for his people's most immediate needs, even bread. And so will we trust Jesus to do this for us? Will we be less anxious about the events and unknowns of life because we know that our ruler is all-powerful and that he is concerned for us? And this event is not distant. Although we may not be immediately concerned for food, Jesus didn't come so we could feed. Rather, he came to die for us. He gave himself as the bread that we need, the bread that provides rest from slavery to death and sin and the devil, the bread that teaches us how to live in light of this new state of freedom. So will we trust him for these things? Will we stop seeking to defeat death by beauty therapy or genetic screening, but rather we can trust that death has been defeated? Will we stop seeking self-improvement programs to make us better people, but trust that Jesus' instruction and the Holy Spirit will do that for us? Will we stop turning to star signs or clairvoyance to overcome evil in our lives and trust that Jesus has conquered evil? So Jesus is the abundant provider. He is concerned for us. He is who we need. He provides all that we need. So let's trust him. Let's pray that we could do that. And loving Father, we thank you for all that Jesus provides for us. And we need your help to trust him. We want to trust him, but so often we don't. So help us to trust his care, his instruction, the rest he provides through his death and resurrection. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 103.2's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.